Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Bethlehem Lutheran Church, where God has called and gathered us here this day to receive his gifts through his word and his sacrament. The Mighty One, God the Lord,
speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting.
Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty,
God shines forth.
Our God comes. He does not keep silence. He calls to the heavens above and to the earth,
that he may judge his people.
Gather to me my faithful ones,
who made a covenant with me, my sacrifice.
The heavens declare his righteousness.
For God himself is judge.
Hear, O Lord, and I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against you.
I am God, your God.
Not for your sacrifices do I rebuke you. I will not accept a bull from your house,
or goats from your folds.
For every beast of the forest is mine.
The cattle on a thousand hills.
I know all the birds of the hills.
And all that moves the field is mine.
If I were hungry, I would not tell you.
For the world and its fullness are mine.
Do I eat the flesh of bulls?
Or drink the blood of goats?
Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving, and call upon me in the day of trouble.
I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday in Advent is from Malachi chapter 4. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Sun of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and just decrees that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 15. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another, as Christ has welcomed you, for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, and he who arises to rule the Gentiles, in him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter. Jesus said, there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity, because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. And he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that the summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place, and to stand before the Son of Man. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Are you watching? Are you waiting for the Lord's return? And hopefully the answer to that question is yes. So if so, then how are you waiting? Probably depends a little bit on how you think the Lord's return is going to be. Are you watching and waiting for him as the kind of person who's watching and waiting for an air raid, and that when you're afraid that he's going to come, you got to go and hide in a bunker or a shelter or something like that? Are you afraid that when he comes, he's going to attack? Are you fearful that when he comes, he is going to destroy you for your sin? There's some reason to be thinking that. You heard our Old Testament reading. Or are you watching and waiting for our Lord's return like a kid whose dad is coming home from Christmas shopping? That's a whole different kind of watching and waiting, isn't it? Are you waiting for our Lord's return, knowing that he has sacrificed himself for you? Are you waiting for him to come, knowing that when he comes, he brings with him forgiveness, life, and salvation? Are you waiting for him because you know that he is bringing your redemption with him? Or are you watching at all? Are you waiting at all? Is it something that even occurs to us? I do hope so, because almost every time that Jesus speaks of the end of the world, when he speaks of Judgment Day, he almost always gives the same encouragement and warning at those times. He says something along the lines of, "Raise your heads, look for the signs, watch yourselves, stay awake." But how easy it is for us to allow our hearts to be weighed down. And there are a great many things that can do this. We got three from Jesus for today. Our hearts being weighed down with dissipation. And probably the closest thing that we can get with a kind of a simpler word for that is hunger. Your heart gets weighed down with hunger. Or are you being weighed down by drunkenness? And recognize that when we say this, it doesn't have to mean only alcohol. It doesn't even have to mean only drugs. There's other ways that we can kind of lose our sobriety, that we can kind of lose track and find our pleasure and get detached. There's other ways to do that than having to use alcohol, though, of course, that is one of them. But is that what we're doing? Are we drunk with what's going on in the world, with the ways that we try to distract ourselves? Or are our hearts being weighed down with the cares of this life, of which there are many? You don't even have to look at the wide world, at what's going on in other parts of the world. You can look at your own life. Are you being weighed down with even getting ready for Christmas? Are you getting weighed down with stressing about your job or where you're going to get gas in the morning? There are many, many ways that your heart can get weighed down to the point where you stop being awake to the possibility that Jesus could come any moment. And that's the warning that he gives every single time he talks about this. He says, watch, stay awake. Here he says, because that day will come upon you like a trap. We're not going to expect it. It's going to happen suddenly, and when it does, everyone will be surprised. So then, with that in mind, knowing that we should be watching, knowing that we should be staying awake, how do we actually do that? How do we watch for him? Hopefully we've established that you need to. And thankfully, Jesus gives us a pretty good idea of what not to do. And that's the letting your heart be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life. But he also tells us what we should be doing. First off, he says, when you see these things happen, straighten up and raise your head. And he tells us why. Raise your head because your redemption is drawing near. You are free to keep watch, to stay awake by knowing the signs, and perhaps even more importantly, by knowing your Lord. Knowing what he has done for you. When we say stay awake here, we obviously don't mean that you need to physically stay awake for as long as it's going to be until Jesus comes. No, what we mean is that you need to be prepared, that you need to be ready for him to come. And what does that mean? It's really quite simple. You need to trust him. You need to believe in him. You need to have faith in the God who died for you so that when he comes, the redemption that he earned for you, you will be able to receive it. This is what faith does. Faith receives that which God gives. It trusts in the promises that he has made us. And that is how you stay awake. That is how you keep watch. But there are certainly other things that we can do as well that Jesus tells us. He says, pray that you have the strength to escape. Recognize the truth. That as we get closer and closer to the end, things are not going to get better. That's what the world believes, right? The world believes that if we just keep on trying, if we just keep on being smarter and keep on working, if we just keep on pushing, that we can slowly but surely make things better and better for each generation as we go forward until finally we will eventually reach some kind of utopia or paradise or perfection. That's what the world believes. But we believe what our Lord has told us. Which is that as the day draws near, there will be more false Christs saying that they are the true Christ and drawing many away. That there will be false prophets who are saying that they are speaking for God and will draw even more away. That there will be more reason for fears and caring for this life, which will drown even more. Things will not get better, at least not in the short term. This world is going to be destroyed. It's going to fail. That's what's going to happen when our Lord returns. Our hopes are not built in this world because this world is going to end. But we do have hope. We do have reason to look forward to this day and to every day that comes. Because we know the truth. We know that when our Lord came and died on the cross, that he did so that we could stand before him on Judgment Day and be declared righteous. Not because of anything that we've done, but because of what he's done. So then, you, as you strive to prepare, as you strive to watch for the Lord, are free to come and stand before the Son of Man even now. As we are doing today, as all of you did earlier when you confessed your sins, you are free to come and receive the forgiveness, to hear the absolution that I speak and know that that is from God, that you are forgiven. You are free to come forward and receive the washing of the water and the word, to remember that washing that you have already had, to come forward and receive the very body and blood of your God that gives you the forgiveness of your sin. You are free to live, stand, endure, and rest in your baptism, which has been given to you. For the Lord is coming. He comes to reduce the arrogant and evildoers to stubble. We need to recognize this point, that our Lord's coming is not going to be a celebration for all people, that God's patience does have a limit. We see this over and over again in the Old Testament. The people will push God to that limit, push him over it, and then God will come down, and he will reduce them. We even see Jesus reach his limit occasionally in the New Testament, in the Gospels. The day is coming when he will no longer tolerate evil. But for you who fear his name, which is just another way of saying you who trust in him, that day will come and the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings. That day will come and you will go out leaping like calves from the stall. That day will come and you will be looking forward to it and be as excited as a child whose dad has just arrived from Christmas shopping. Fear the Lord. Trust the Lord. Love the Lord. For he is terrifying in his power, but he is righteous in its use. He has loved you since the very beginning, since he imagined you, before he even created you. He loves you. And he proved it when he died for you. And he follows through on his word. He said that he would come and save us. He did. And he has promised you that he will come again, that he will not abandon you to this world of darkness and death, and that neither will he abandon you to your sin and the just punishment that you deserve, but that he will come with redemption, with forgiveness, with life and salvation. You are free, therefore, to trust his promise and to look forward to that day, keeping watch, believing in him, and trusting in him. Now may the peace which passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.